Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3, we'll read verses 14 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you that our church is just exactly what you asked it to be, and a church. Thank you that we have a man of God and a preacher who loves us, and that he walks with you very closely to give us what you've given him. Now, Father, please fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we walk away much differently than the way we walked in, please. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
Let me just take a moment and say something. I appreciate Brother Doss singing. What a good man. What a good man with balance. Brother Doss, he coaches basketball, an excellent athlete, then can stand up here and sing a song like that. He's one of our deacons. Boy, I like men like that being role models for our young men. And so thank you, Brother Doss, so much for your testimony. Hey, and I got to tell you this, I got to use my four-wheel drive. I am so glad. I had so much fun. Everybody's not been looking forward to the snow. I'm so glad it's here. It cost me $300, in attendance this morning, but it's worth it one time because I got to use my four-wheel drive. I'm having fun. Hey, if you want me to come run through your yard with my four-wheel drive, let me know. I went through some yesterday. They didn't ask, but I did. No, I did not do that. If I did, I wouldn't tell you. This morning, I'd like for you to do yourself a favor and do your Savior a favor. As I preach this sermon, the way I'd like to see you handle it is all by yourself. Pay attention, all by yourself. Look right this way, and all by yourself, listen to this sermon. I really wish we could draw a circle up here on the platform, and you could step into it, and all by yourself, you face the truth of this morning. John 3:16, of course, one of the most famous, probably the most quoted verse in the whole Bible, where the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave. Now those are big words. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. I got to counting the number of times the word give or given or giver in any way, shape, or form used in the Bible. I had to quit after 1,500 because it was just getting a little ridiculous counting them all. But over 1,500 times you see this word give in the Bible. Do you realize the story of Jesus Christ is full of giving? Just full of giving. There was a woman at a well one day, and he offered to give her living water so that she would thirst no more. There was a man by the roadside who was blind. He could not see, and Jesus gave him back his sight. There was a crippled man by a pool of water, hoping to get into that pool of water because of a certain healing that would be made available to him. And he was given the ability to walk. His crippled legs were healed. Jesus gave a sinner, a lady who had been caught in the very act of adultery, he gave her mercy and gave her another chance. He gave a soldier back his ear. They were coming to arrest Jesus Christ, and Peter pulled out his sword and whacked off this guy's ear. And Jesus leaned down, picked it up, and said, "I believe this is yours." Healed it and put his ear back on. He gave a man his ear back. He gave the disciples and the apostles a chance to serve him. And you have to understand, some of them were pretty ornery fellas. Matthew is a tax collector at this time of the year. You all know what you feel about the tax collectors. They felt the same back then. But Matthew was given a chance to serve. See, the story of Jesus is packed full of giving. There were some people that were hungry one day, and he gave them enough fish and bread to serve 5,000 plus people. There was a man that had died. His family was grieving and mourning and to a degree upset because this family knew that had Jesus shown up, he could have healed a man by the name of Lazarus. That was the one that the family was grieving. Jesus shows up on the scene and gives Lazarus back his life. But not only that, gave that family back a family member. Jesus gave hope to the hopeless. He gave love to the loveless. He gave salvation to a man that was hanging on a cross within moments of death. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." I mean, his whole life. He gave joy and peace to those shepherds that sought him when he was just a child as they followed a star to Bethlehem and all the way to his death where he was hanging on a cross. He was giving. There was a lady that was in a crowd, and Jesus was in the very crowd. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and he gave her healing for a disease that she had. He gave strength to the weak. He gave his all to die for you and for me. What a giver. And we all know that. But wait a minute. There's an opposite side of this thing called giving. Well, it's easy. It's called taking. Oh, I've got to tell you about this other guy. His name's Satan. He's a taker. He's a taker. Jesus, the ultimate giver, then you have his counterpart, Satan, which is the ultimate taker. Satan, he takes your dreams. He takes your hopes. He takes your purity. He takes your goodness. He takes your faith. He takes your love. He takes your good desires. You understand, there is a giver out there, but there is also a taker. Satan, he takes your gentleness and wants to dash it upon the rocks of hatefulness. He'll take your money. He'll try to take your soul to hell. If you'd let him, he would do it. He'll try to take your marriage. Do you realize there is someone out there? They're on the prowl like a roaring lion wanting to devour your marriage. Right. Satan wants your marriage. He is trying as we speak to take it. Ladies, he wants to take your husband. And you say, "Fine. Let's get started." Satan's a taker. He wants to take your wife. He wants your kids. Boy, I have got news for you. Satan has made his bid for our children. You just look around us. He wants your kids. And he is on the prowl and he is out to take your children. Some of you need to wake up and realize what he's doing. He's trying to take your kids. He wants to take your church from you. He wants to take your health and take your victory and take your mind and take your security and take your peace. Right. He's a taker. He came on the scene as a taker. In Isaiah, he began taking, and he's going to take everybody down. As long as he can, his whole goal is to take everything and everyone away from God and God's purpose. And so this morning, for the moment, we have examined two. God, the giver. Satan, the taker. After which one do you pattern your life? Are you the giver? Are you the taker? Now remember, if you have done as I suggested, you've drawn a circle around yourself and you're standing there alone. You answer this question. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Now wait a minute. I want you to speak for yourself. Because some of you women, I think you're married to a very good and a generous man, and he's a giver. But I'm asking you ladies, personally, are you a giver or are you a taker? Some of you men, you are married to a very sweet and a humble and a giving kind of person. They're not stingy. I'm not asking you to take on your wife's strength and be able to claim being a giver because she's a giver. I'm asking you, sir. I'm asking you, ma'am. There's some of you young people. You live in a home and mom and dad are decent, godly, giving kind of people. So you say, well, I guess at our house we're givers. I'm not asking at your house. I'm asking in your circle. Are you a giver? Are you a taker? Which is it? And I'm not talking about what you used to do, by the way. I'm not looking for the used-to-be givers. You say, well, I've paid my dues. You've never paid all your dues in regard to giving in the Christian life. Well, I just feel like I've given enough. You show me where you found that in the Bible. You found that in the pages of your stingy heart. That's where you found it. Listen, how would others describe you? Well, my family, Brother Owens, I'm not talking about your family now. I'm talking about you. Stay in that circle. All by yourself. Quit trying to hop into your husband's circle or your wife's circle or mom and dad's circle. Or you say, well, I'm a part of the giving church. I'm not talking to you about your church. I'm talking about you. You, personally. Are you a giver? Are you a taker? Wonder if you had to be pinned one or the two. You say, I'm a little bit of both. But wonder if we had to just put you on a scale that would weigh out the giving and the taking. And if we weighed your character in regard to this issue, which way would the needle go? Would you be deemed a giver basically in life or a taker basically in life? In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you. But you need to remember something. We're going to pattern ourselves basically after either the great giver God or the great taker Satan. I hope we'd want to be givers. Let's just, you know, I'm almost embarrassed of the sermon this morning because it's so simple. Anybody could preach it. But I'm wondering if just anybody can live it. That may be the difficult part. Listen, as we talk about this very subject, let's take some areas in life. Prayer. It's talking to God. Let me ask you a question. Are you a giver or a taker? Colossians 1:3 says, we give thanks to our God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the church in Colossae, and he said, I'm always praying for you at that church. Hey, we love it when people pray for us. Pray for me. But I have a question today. Which are you when it comes to prayer? A giver or a taker? Primarily, are you a giver or a taker in prayer? For instance, for whose health are you begging God right now? Well, I'll guarantee you, if it's you're the one that's sick, if you're the one that's facing the knife, if you're the one that fears the C word, cancer, if it's your child that's sick, well, we better get everybody together and pray for you. So call down the church. Pray for us, Brother Owens. Well, let me ask you a question. Who are you praying for? Which are you in prayer, a giver or a taker? Hi, if you were facing financial catastrophe and you had to have prayer, you'd be right on it. For whose finances are you praying other than yourself? Giver or a taker? For who do you continually pray other than yourself? Hey, boy, it's a really simple concept, isn't it? But a very deep truth. Giver or taker. I love this. Two young boys were spending their night with grandma. It was time for their prayers, so they knelt beside the bed and began to pray. The youngest boy began to pray, Dear Jesus, I want a new bicycle. And dear Jesus, I want a new computer game. And dear Jesus, I want a new DVD player. And his older brother nudged him as they were kneeling by the bed and said, Jesus is not deaf, Joey. And Joey said, I know, but Grandma is. We can get very loud when we want something for us. While you're standing there in your little circle, you tell me something. I'm not asking about what your dad did, or what your mom did, or what your husband does, or what your wife does, or what your parents do, or what your church accomplishes. I'm asking you, every individual here today, are you a taker or a giver when it comes to prayer? Let's go to another subject. How about love? Love. Taker or a giver? Just so you know, the heathen love their own husband, wife, and kids. You know, the basis of people practice that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave. Everybody wants love, don't they? Give it to me. I want love. Well, let me ask you something. To who are you personally giving love outside your immediate circle of family right now? Who? Name one. Nor are you just basically a love taker. Who do you love that's hard to love? You know something? It's easy to love your children. It's easy to love your mate. Some man out there saying, speak for yourself, Brother Owens. I am. Loving my wife is simple. Loving my daughter is simple. But let me ask you something. Some of you have been in church all your life. Who knows that you love them outside your family? I'm talking about with Christian love, you're investing in them, you're loving them, helping them to succeed in the Christian life. Most of you would have to write on the answer space for the question just rendered, nobody. So what are you then? Giver or a taker when it comes to love? Let's go to another subject. How about truth? Giver or a taker? Are you a giver of the truth of the Word of God, or are you just a taker of the truth of the Word of God? Proverbs 8:7 says, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Is it an abomination for you to say anything against people and hurt people? Or are you a promoter of truth? Let me ask you this. What have you done with all the truth that's been given to you through the years of your life? What'd you do with it? I took it. Gimme. Well, have you given any of it away? We're either takers or givers. Do you just take in Sunday school? Let me advise. I think once you're taught a truth in Sunday school, you ought to take it and give it away. Stagnant, bitter Christians are takers. Excited, vibrant, productive Christians give what they have taken. You could not imagine how many people walk into church, hear a truth, and they never do a thing with it. Just take it in. What do you do with the truth that you're given? You know something? If I came to this pulpit and laid an egg 2 months in a row, there'd be all sorts of people here leaving to go find some church that'd feed them. Who are you feeding? Good. So I expect to be fed when I get to church. And God expects you to feed. He didn't give you the truth just so you could absorb it into your own little Christian life and then let it basically sit there and sour. Some of you are spiritually educated beyond your own personal character to achieve. You've been taught the Bible your whole life and you're not doing anything about a major portion of it. You just suck it in like a sponge and it just gets hard. You ever seen a sponge when it dries up? You suck it in and it just dries up. And that's why you're stiff-necked and hard-hearted. You suck it in, you don't do anything with it. Truth. You come to church and you have your need met. You have your life encouraged. Now, whose life are you encouraging and whose need are you meeting? Or are you just a taker of truth? Or are you a giver? I can remember when I was in Bible college, I would go to a class and they would teach me a truth. Man, I'd sit there and my mind and my heart was challenged and I'm going, wow, oh, that is incredible. I've never seen that in the Bible. Let me tell you what I did. Almost every day of my life, I would leave my college classes and go to work at night. I'd start a little Bible study with some men at work. I would work beside men at work. I'd walk into work and they'd say, well, how'd your day go, Jeff? I said, it went great. So what'd you do? I said, I can't believe they asked. Let me tell you, I learned this and I learned that. I learned this and I learned that. One thing you don't want to do is say, well, what have you been thinking about? I'll tell you. It's like some of you in regard to gossip. Somebody said, what you heard? Oh, God, you can't wait to tell them. You take it in and you take it in and you take it in. Give it out. In regard to truth, how much of a truth giver are you? When's the last time you sat down and taught any bit of the Bible to anyone? Anyone. Let me ask you a question. I wonder how many of you eat lunch with somebody at work. When was the last time you popped your Bible open at lunch at work and told anybody anything you've learned at the church? You wouldn't dare do that, would you? You might have to be considered a Christian to do that. He said, well, I'm not learning anything. Maybe you're not saved. If you're having a hard time learning the Bible around here, you do have some major hang-up somewhere. Well, the question is, don't forget you're in your circle. Truth, giver, taker. Prayer, giver, taker. Love, giver, taker. How about forgiveness? Are you a taker only? Or are you a giver of forgiveness? Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Praise God, He forgave me. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to be forgiven? Isn't it great? We love forgiveness, don't we, folks? You men, when you do some knucklehead thing and then your wife forgives you, which I know is a rare occurrence, but let's say you, and I'm not talking about the forgiveness, I'm talking about the knucklehead part. You do some knucklehead thing and then your wife forgives you and it's a wonderful thing. Oh, to think I've been forgiven of all my sin. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful when you're down at work and you goof up, you scrap a part or you break something or you make a mistake and the boss says, that's all right. You're human. It's okay. Go on. We just love forgiveness. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. Woo! It's exciting when people forgive. But let me ask you something. Are you a forgiveness taker? And not a forgiveness giver? There are people in this room, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You accepted all the forgiveness that goes with the entire package, but you still hold grudges against other people. You're still mad at people. You still have your edge on you with other people. You are a taker. And you ought to be a giver. Hey, why don't we just go around giving forgiveness everywhere we go? I like that. You'd never have a church split. Right. Never. Right. We're forgivers. We're going to give it. How about your money? What are you? Taker, giver. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. We're very good about taking everything that's sent our way, aren't we? We're very good at it. Boy, somebody gives you some money, you are a top-notch, excellent, superior taker. How good of a giver are you? There are people who can take 100% of what God gives them, just so you know, everything you have was given to you by God. Everything. Your whole paycheck, your house, your car, your clothes, your food, the air you breathe, all of it. It came to you from God. It was given. You took it. Took it well. God can ask you to give a portion of it back. And, well, that's unreasonable. You're a good taker, aren't you? But not a good giver. Other people can give to you and you know how to receive. Love to receive. You would be shocked. And I know, Dr. Smith, you probably had to face this around Christmas time. Around Christmas time, we've got people that wouldn't come to church all year long, but if they think we're about to do something for people around Christmas, they show up and say, well, I'm part of the church. And if you're giving anything away, I want it. Excellent, excellent takers. I was wondering, where were you when we were giving to other people's needs the other 51 weeks out of the year? Money. Are you a giver or are you a taker? You say, you're just trying to get my money for the church. I'm trying to help you not to be stingy. Did you know it doesn't matter how much the offerings are here, I still get paid the same? How much you give here has no bearing on how much I get. But how much you give has some bearing on how much you get. You see, Satan is the great taker. God is the great giver. We're going to pattern ourselves after one of the two. And I'm not talking to you about what you used to do. I'm not talking to you about what your dad's done or what your mom does. I'm going to talk to you about what your kids do. There's some of your kids are givers and you're not. I'm going to talk to you about what your husband does or what your wife does. You have to give an account to God for yourself. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Are you a giver in prayer or just a taker? Are you a giver or a taker in love, in truth, in forgiveness, in money? How about this? Are you a giver or are you a taker in regard to the subject of peace? Peace. John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. You know what the Lord said? I want to give you peace. And I am telling you, any of you that have ever been through war, whether it be war with guns and bombs or just the war of life, we long for peace, don't we? The fussing in the family, the fighting at work, the discord in a church. Anybody that's lived any life at all, they say, I want peace. How many of you moms have said, you're ready to pull your hair out, I just need a little peace. You ever find that pocket of peace somewhere? Maybe you're sitting at home, the phone's not ringing, the kids are asleep. Your mother-in-law's not there. Last night it was snowing and everybody was just, of our own accord, snowed in. Just relax and get a little of that peace, maybe a hot cup of coffee, tea. You ever look for that little solitude peace? God said, I want to give peace. Now let me ask you a question. You know, I want it. I'll take it. Well, God, if you could give me some peace in my marriage or some peace with my kids or some peace with my friends or some peace at work. You've been in all the turmoil at work and you just need a little haven, a little peace. God's the peace giver and we'll accept it real quick. You ever have the kind of person that they come around and when you're with them, it's a peaceful thing. They're the kind of person that'll calm you and strengthen you, and you walk away saying, you know what? Well, what they are is they're peace givers. The Bible teaches we're to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. No, which are you? Are you a peace giver or are you a peace taker? If there was a group of people working on a project in the church and you joined it, would they go, oh, great, here we go? Or when you walk into the room, people say, this is going to be delightful. Easy to work with, easy to get along with. Are you a peace giver or a peace taker? Young people, what do you add to our school? You follow the rules and help to bring peace in the school, or are you the kind that causes turmoil in the school? Because you're either a peace giver or a peace taker. What kind of person are you in the church? Are you a peace giver or a peace taker? The devil, he says, I want to steal that. I want to take that. And we get involved with his techniques. Let's move on to another little idea here. How about the subject of success? Are you a success taker or a success giver? Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Let me explain something to you. If you're a success at anything you do, anything, any good thing that you're a success at, God made you the success. He gave you the wherewithal. You say, I've got a good mind, I'm a businessman, God gave it to you. I'm a good housewife, God gave it to you. Whatever you're a success at, you are not a success outside God. God either allows you to rise up to success or you don't rise up. Let me ask you something. Do you take all the success He shoves your way but never give success? You know, boy, I'll tell you how we are so greedy. Give me. Peace. Pray for me. Give me money. Take care of me. I want the peace. I want the success. I want forgiveness. I want it. Give it to me. But we're supposed to be givers, not just takers. Do you give success? You say, how in the world do you get success? You tell me something. All the things that God's trained you to do through the years and all the things that you know how to do successfully, who have you trained? Who do you set a good example for? There are people in this room that would know how to run a bus route because they know how to run a successful church bus route, but you're never going to run a church bus route. You don't want to run a church bus route, and you're never going to pass the success that God made available to you on to somebody else. Who have you trained to be a good Sunday school teacher? Some of you know how. You could be. There are people in here, you know the Bible better than I do. Nobody knows it. Nor will anybody ever know it. Because you're a taker. Train me. Teach me. I want to succeed. Make me somebody. Make me into something. Make sure my family's okay. Make sure my kids are okay. Make sure my marriage is okay. Make sure I've got money. Make sure I succeed. What are you going to do with that? Well, take care of myself. But that's really what life's all about, right, folks? Take care of ourselves. Are you a success taker but not giver? Do you spend all your time enjoying your success with you? I am honor-bound and obligated to take what many, many preachers and pastors who are my seniors through the years, I'm obligated to teach people what I've been taught by them. Amen. I'm obligated. You know what? I am obligated to get some young men in my church called to preach and teach some of you young men exactly how to do it. I'm obligated. I was taught how. I have a certain obligation as I travel the country and I go to churches and pastors bombard me with questions. How would you do this? What would you do about that? How would you handle this? What would you do about that? I'm not real smart, but I'll tell you this. I begged for success. I pleaded for it. I searched for it. And what little bit of it's been given to me, I owe it that I pass it on. I'm not just to be a taker. I need to go tell people what I know. I need to help pastors out there know what does and does not work. Because we're not just supposed to be a taker of success. We're to be a giver of success. Now, what have you learned, and you're successful at it, God, and but you have not done a thing with it. You took it in, you succeeded, you got to run your flag up your pole and say, ha, look at me! I'm the winner! Giver, taker of success. Let's go on to another little subject. How about praise? Praise. Giver, taker. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And what it's talking about is praise helps to purify people. We love being praised, don't we? Boy, we just love having someone say, you did that well. That's fantastic. Great job. Way to go. Super. We like that. We like having people praise us. We like having people point out what we did well. That we are succeeding at by the grace of God. We like someone saying, hey, good job. High five. Woo! What? You just a taker? Or are you a giver of praise? Who have you praised recently at the church? Who is it? Well, we like it. I could help your marriages tremendously today. You say, I'd like my wife's life to be purified. Good, then find everything about her that's good and tell her about it. Every time she does something good, you say, that's great. And what you do, you wait until she messes up to make sure she knows about it. Here the Bible says that praise purifies, just like you take gold ore and you stick it into a blast furnace and the heat causes the impurities to rise to the top and you take the impurities off and then you have pure gold left. Praise will do that for people. It brings the impurities out of their life. When we do good, we want to be told, but we are more so praise takers than praise givers. You say, for instance, hey, listen, down at work, I just wish my boss would tell me I'm doing a good job. Well, could I ask, when was the last time at work you praised anybody? When did you praise your boss for doing a good job? When did you praise your coworker? When did you thank the lady that draws up the paychecks for getting your paycheck together for you? I'm sure there are some people in this building, you are miserable with this sermon. I mean, flat out miserable. You're feeling like, whoa. That's called guilt. Conviction. Because you live on the negative side of life. Praise. You ladies, I wish my husband would do some things around the house. Well, if you get him to, send him out to ours. There's some things at our house need done, too. I was hoping your husband would do something around our house, too. I'm going to tell you, when he does, I'd praise him. Well, I just wish my kids would... Okay, whatever you're wanting them to do, when they do, do that. Be sure you praise it. You know, if you will learn the tool of praise, it'll make a big difference in your life. It'll make a big difference in everything that you do. There's something that you would like to see develop, then learn. Once we see any, even a glimmer of hope that that's being developed, you praise that glimmer. Now, don't lie to people. You don't praise people for what they're not doing. That's a lie. But you need to learn to praise. So, in the area of praise, what are we? Givers or takers? Do you know everybody else enjoys praise as much as you do? Boy, we'll take that praise though. Boy, if somebody would get up and praise me publicly. I was praising Brother Steve Knight for being a good man earlier, and some man said up there, "Well, he never said that about me." Well, when was the last time you said anything praise? When was the last time you praised somebody publicly? Husbands need to praise their wives, and wives need to praise their husbands. Well, I just wish somebody down at the church would praise me. Well, are you praising people down at the church? Well, I think somebody's got a bad attitude about me. What kind of attitude you got about everybody else? Have you stopped to think? There's a Bible verse. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Last time I checked, it's still in the King James Bible. I don't know about all the other ones, but I know it's in the one that God wrote. Are you still in your circle? Or are you in the parking lot on the way home right now? You're saying,
I'm out of here.
That circle, yucko, buddy. If you're in your circle right now, I'm not talking about your husband. See, some of you are saying, you wives, you need to praise your husband. Some of you husbands are saying, that is exactly what I need, Brother Owens. You jumped out of your circle.
Yeah.
You stay in your circle. You get my wife, Brother Owens. I don't want your wife. Giver or a taker? How about in regard to the subject of sacrifice? Are you a giver or taker? Others could sacrifice for you and you're good with it. Your mom, as you were growing up, could sacrifice for you. Your dad could sacrifice for you. Your grandparents could sacrifice for you. Your husband can sacrifice for you. Your wife can sacrifice for you. Your church could sacrifice for you. Somebody sacrificed to help you pay your school bill. Somebody sacrificed to get you tickets to a Valentine banquet. Somebody sacrificed to help you, and you can receive sacrifice just like that. We're all good at letting others sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ can sacrifice Himself for us. Now, will you sacrifice yourself for Him? Now, you won't even come back to church tonight. There's a man, I'm going to mention his name because he's a good man. Most of you won't know him. A few will, but he doesn't live here. His name is Jim Maxwell. Man that I love dearly, a friend of mine. Years ago, Jim and his wife had not been married very long, and Jim had just fallen into financial reversals. Had some difficult times. I remember one year arranging it so Jim and his wife could attend, but like we're having a couple's retreat and a Valentine banquet. I arranged so Jim and his wife could go because they were not going to be able to go had they not been helped. And I'm not talking about people that are out drinking up their money with booze and smoking it up there. I'm talking about sincere people that were just struggling financially. And I helped Jim. I'll never forget it. The very next year, when it was time for the banquet and the couple's retreat, he came to me and he said, "I think I've got myself straightened out financially. Here's the money to send somebody to the couples retreat." Then the next year, he came to me and he said, "Here's the money to send somebody to the couples retreat." And then the next year, he came. Now, he's a successful businessman and he goes everywhere saying, "You help that person. You help that person. Help that person." I wouldn't doubt, this has probably been 10, 12, 15 years ago, that Jim is still going to the one that has the couples retreat saying, "Here's some money. Now go help somebody that needs to go to the couples retreat." Why? He was not a taker. He was a giver. He was down on his luck for the moment. He rose above that little time of weakness and he turned it around. You got some people that are takers, 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 takers. They have a habit form too, don't they? Your parents can sacrifice for you. Let me ask you something. By the way, Stay in your circle now. I'm going to talk about your husband. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your mom. I'm not talking about your dad. I'm talking to you. You're in your circle. When was the last time you personally sacrificed to help someone? You did without. You said, I'm going to help someone. I will sacrifice something about me to help someone. See, we're good takers of sacrifice, aren't we? We have a hard time giving. How about service? Are you a taker or a giver? Mark 10:44 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Everybody wants to be served. Everybody wants to be served. Husbands want their wives to serve them. Children seem to want parents to serve them. Come to the church, you got to be served. Are you a good taker of service? Or are you a giver? I can almost guarantee you, and I hope this isn't true, but I can almost guarantee you there's somebody that got out of the parking lot at the church today and was dissatisfied with the way the parking lot has been cleared. Somebody got out of their car and said, they could have done this better. Well, whoever you are, let me ask you a question. Where were you at 5 o'clock this morning when they were cleaning it? What's your contribution? You're just a taker. Something I love to do. I've been doing it for years. I'll continue to do it. I'll go to other people's churches. I'll preach. They'll have a big meal maybe and have all the preachers come and sit and have a big meal together as part of the banquet. I tell you what I always do. I go in the kitchen and get involved. I go in there and grab up a pot of coffee. I go out and pour coffee at the tables. I help them clear off the salad table. You say, wait a minute, you're the guest speaker. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says that you're supposed to be such a big shot that you don't serve people. Preachers sitting in their ivory towers, expecting everybody to fall down and worship them. That's stupid. Preachers are supposed to serve the people, meet the people's needs. I don't understand that. And I enjoy it, by the way. I enjoy doing that. We want service. Some of you men say, I'll tell you what I want. I want my wife to serve me. When was the last time you served her? I mean, I'm thinking about getting Mrs. Owens a new lawnmower. Got to take care of the woman. Meet her needs. How about at church? What are you? Honestly, and Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this mic on. Let me ask you about church now. What are you? Taker or giver? You walk in, take whatever you want, walk out. Don't do anything for God. You think you're serving God because you come in here, suck up the air conditioning, suck up the heat, get the preaching, hear the music, and leave. Which are you? Taker or giver? You know what a lot of people don't like about me? You can't get mixed up about what I'm saying. It's just so clear you're saying, I don't like him. He's too honest. Let's just talk about it. What have you done for the church in the last month? Brought discord? Took? What's your contribution? I'll tell you what, if the church didn't give to you, if you didn't get the preaching, if you didn't have, I think, one of the finest choirs in the United States of America, since we get a choir director, we'll be all right. He thinks I'm kidding. That's what I like about Brother Nash. It don't matter what I say, he laughs at it. You know? Boy, better make sure everything's just right for when I get there. I want the church just right for me. Are you a taker or are you a giver? Which is it? You get what you want, you leave. What do you do with it? You get what you need, what do you do with it? How long have you been like that? How long have you walked in, got what you wanted, and walked out? Try that down at Walmart. Walk in, pick up what you need, and walk out. called being a taker. Answer the question. Stay in the little circle now. Stay in your circle. Man, some people do anything to ignore the conviction that God tries to bring on them. Stay in your circle now. What have you contributed? You. What's your contribution? And I'm not talking about you taking up your 18 inches of chair there. Or however many inches you take up. I'm out of time, but let me quickly. How about submission? Taker or giver? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Husbands want submission. And the Bible teaches it, by the way. The Bible teaches wives are to be in subjection or submission to their own to their own husbands. Wives are to subject. Let me ask you a question, though, husbands. You ever give it? Sir, to who are you submissive? Who? Well, we can take that submission, can't we? Oh, submit to me. But to who are you submissive? Moms want submission. Well, my kids obey me. I want them to do what I say. So are you submissive? You want it. You're a taker, but are you a giver? Do your kids submit to you at an equal percentage or an equal portion that you submit to your God and your husband? Is that possible? Dads want submission. Well, who do you submit to? Are you just a taker? Teachers in a class. And I know teachers that are tyrants in class. I expect you to submit to me. You'll keep the rules of this class. I expect you to keep the rules of this class. Then you'll turn right around and break the rules of the administration. Teachers would have little ones under them, watching over them, and making sure that those little ones do what they're told to do. Then same teacher turn around at lunch and gossip, which has been preached against at this pulpit, which is against the Bible. Well, listen. We're takers. How about respect? You like it when people respect you. But are you a respect taker, but not a giver? How about security? 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." He, you know what the Lord told us? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We love security, don't we? You know, the Bible very clearly teaches once you're saved, you're always saved. Very clear. You trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He does all the saving. He keeps you that way. We love security. How much security do you give? How often do you threaten your husband that you're leaving him? Or your wife? I made a statement a week or two ago. I was preaching in the pulpit here. You've heard me say this before. I want to die at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I want to be buried in the mausoleum out here. Not going anywhere. I want to grow old here. Not another church in the world that I want. Not jealous of any church. Don't want to go anywhere. People say, "Amen, preacher." Oh, then why do you debate? Well, where are we going to go to church? We want security. We don't like to give it. You know, you like the boss to make sure that paycheck's coming in, don't you? He better pay you on payday. They better not be cutting your hours. You don't want to hear that the company's going under, do you? Well, how much security did you give your boss? You want your husband to provide security. How much do you provide for people? Are you a security taker or a security giver? How about salvation? Well, we'll take that, won't we? Salvation, free, provided by God. I'll take it. Well, when's the last time you gave any of it away?
If you're not saved here today, you need to get born again. If you are saved here today, you ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ. It's called soul winning. Oh, you'll take salvation. You ever give it away? Or are you just a salvation taker? There's somebody out there that you're to tell about Jesus Christ, and they're going to get saved as a result of it. And if you don't tell them, they're going to die and go to hell. And you will be responsible for some portion of what they must face. Because you were a taker, not a giver. You can come out of your circle now. The sermon is so simple. Taker or giver? God was the giver. Satan is the taker. After which one do you pattern your life? If you're not saved here today, I want to recommend to you the Savior. You need to get born again. If you are saved, then let's just make sure that in our lives, what we enjoy receiving, have you ever noticed it? We enjoy receiving some things. You know something? It may just be that what we enjoy receiving, others might enjoy receiving. Do they have to look past you to get it? How much security do the people in this church derive from you? If everybody in the church came to you to get security about our church, would they get it from you? Could I send everybody in the church to you about the security, the future of our church? Would you say, it's great, I'm for it, I'm in, I'm going for it, I'm locked in, let's go! Could they receive it from you? Good. Sacrifice, could they receive it from you? Peace? For God so loved the world that He gave. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.